Welcome to Positive Personal Power with hope, aspiration, and encouragement. Our goal is to build and enhance people's confidence and strength to handle life's challenges. Now, let me introduce you to your host, Nathaniel Skula.
Well, I am very privileged to be joined by Brian Eisenberg again today. He's been on my other podcast shows, and we met over in Las Vegas with IBM a few years ago. But Brian is a New York Times bestselling author, I think six times now, actually. And you're also a global keynote speaker, and you're co-founder of Pelotero, which is my best Spanish, which means ball player. So welcome, Brian. It's great to speak with you again.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, it was two times we hit the New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestseller. But yeah, I've written six books altogether.
Super, super. So today we're here to discuss overcoming one's struggles to achieve joy. And I know you've, like me, you've been through a lot of struggles in your own way, right? Like everyone goes through their own kind of struggles. And, you know, I know when you had your first book, Waiting for Your Cat to Bark, that was a number one bestseller, right? But in the run up to that, like you had like all hell break loose, right, in your personal life. So do you want to kind of spill and tell me a bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, you know, you think you learn lessons along the way. You know, just struggles, as you were saying, that it just brought back a memory of, you know, the first business my brother and I went in together. We were building it, and we had our third partner change the locks on the door. The morning we drove up to the office, we went to open up the door, and it wouldn't open. And he basically had locked us out of everything. But we went out of that, we left that one, and we started our agency, right? And in 1998, we started the first conversion rate optimization agency. We had published a couple of small little self-published books, just kind of get some, you know, a little bit of our background out there. But it was 2005, we published a book called Call to Action. We self-published it. All about online conversion and stuff like that. And we were struggling to try to come up with a cover idea. And I'm going to get to the Waiting for Your Cat to Bark story in a second. And we're like, okay, we have no idea what to do. We're going to just come up with like the craziest cover we can come up with. We did something. It was a brown jacket with like an Egyptian eagle on it. And, anyway, we sent that book to a bunch of people. Seth Godin ended up blogging about it the week it got released and said, drop everything you're doing. Don't judge a book by its cover, but you need to get a copy of this book. That propelled us to the New York Times bestseller list. And it got us a contract with a major publisher, Thomas Nelson. We actually had a bidding war between six different publishers to publish our next book. So, of course, you know, it was great. We got a great advance and we got a budget for marketing and travel and all that. And part of the requirement of the contract, we were supposed to do a 30-city book tour between my brother and I. So we're just at the end of hitting that New York Times bestseller list with Call to Action, and we know now we have time until we have to finish writing Waiting for Your Cat to Bark. And in that span, I lost my grandmother. My wife had a miscarriage. My father passed away, my uncle passed away, and we had to proceed with this book tour.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's serious to have to, because I get a bit, when I've got a lot of stuff on, right, like I kind of get to the point in my head, it's almost like you've got a certain limit of stress that you can, and grief and frustration that you can sort of put up with, right? And perhaps, you know, on some occasions, all it'll take is like one message, which is something negative, to just push me over the edge, right? Well, a while back, that was, you know, I was like that. I'm a bit better now because I've got a lot more support around me from friends and family and girlfriend and that kind of stuff. But how on earth do you deal with that and move forwards?
Well, you know, my I have a friend of mine who's a chiropractor here in town in Austin, Dr. Matt Delgado, who I've been mentoring for the last couple of years. And in his office, he has a great drawing by one of the local artists of a camel, and right above it is a straw, right? And he talks about, you know, people complain about the pain, like, you know, when you're in pain, it's like that last straw that broke the camel's back. Looking back, I'm kind of shocked that we didn't break, but I guess, you know, I guess back then, the combination of the successes and growing our agency and all of our employees who depended on us, you know, my brother and I didn't have time to break, right? We didn't have time to effectively grieve. And at the same time, we really didn't have time to effectively celebrate those moments as well. We just did, right? We were just getting through day by day, trying to get done what we needed to get done, right? You know, we had clients, you know, we had to travel from city to city. We had to do this. In fact, it's kind of a funny story that's turning around. At the end of the book tour, we were invited to also speak in Japan. They were translating our book. And I was exhausted. I knew I couldn't. So I guess that was the first part of where I realized I was breaking. And I was like, you know, I can't do it. I'm going to send my partner, John Porto on Tivadar. And he went and got to experience that trip. Interestingly enough, John's actually helping us with our new startup a little bit with my other two co-founders. We're on a call with the whole team the other day. And I said, you know, talking back, and I was talking about the story about missing this trip. And I said, probably one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't take advantage of going. I mean, I knew I couldn't have. Like, I didn't have it in me to go. Sammy was, my middle son was just born as well. I just didn't have the energy in me to get up and leave. And, you know, my wife was too, like, I just couldn't do it anymore. So, yeah, so we're in the middle of all of this, you know, the books, the you know, the clients, the travel, you know, my wife has two kids at home, trying to get all this organized, you know, making sure my employees are earning a living and taking care of that. We're doing all this. And I was telling the story of this trip to Japan and regretting not being able to go. And sure enough, just a couple of weeks ago, I got an invitation to come speak in Japan. The day after, I told my friends about feeling that regret to that. So I guess, wow. You know, when you put the energy out there, right? You know, now I'm getting rewarded, and I was able to give my friend John a great experience. But yeah, and obviously one of the big things that I also can now in hindsight realize that part of all of that did to me is, you know, by the time we left that agency a few years later, because we had turned into a software company as well, and you know, took it public, and there's some stories there too of challenges. I had gained from when I first started, probably 80, 90 pounds. I was 277 pounds.
Wow.
Wasn't sleeping well, wasn't breathing well, you know, didn't eat well, and decided to completely revamp my lifestyle and worked hard to lose over 100 pounds. Now, you know, COVID's gained me my 20. Unfortunately,
we've all put on a few pounds. I've put on a few pounds. I literally was reducing my food intake a couple of days ago, thinking that very thing. Like, it's just
it's just the level of stress that people are facing right now. Because yeah. Like my food intake, my activity is higher, my food intake is about the same, but I've gained weight. By the way, that's why they call it the COVID-19, right? It's actually the 19 pounds that you're going to gain.
It's COVID-19. So, it's freaking crazy, man. It's absolutely crazy. Like, I really just don't get it at all. Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, it's very difficult to find balance, right. And joy, with today's chaos. Right. And I know we were talking a little bit about this before, you know, I live on my own, right? So, you know, I see my daughter once a week and things like this, but you live with your family. Yeah. So that is extremely tough for people who live with their families, because the kids want to use the internet. They use loads of bandwidth up when you're on a call. They might go to the bathroom and flush the toilet when people are on a Zoom call or whatever with their boss. You know, it's crazy. Yeah. Really?
And don't forget about the sibling rivalry and the chaos that can cause occasionally.
Yep. Of course. So yeah, because you've got three all living there, right?
Three. One 19, one who just turned 15, and an 11-year-old.
Wow. Wow.
So she's different the youngest. Lifestyles.
So the daughter's the youngest. Yeah.
No. My daughter's the oldest. She's the one. Yeah, she's the one in University of Texas right now, but yep. Living at home because of obviously everything that happened.
Yeah.
So that was an adjustment, but she still works because she was working at school at the dorm.
Yeah.
And they're still open because they still have some international students there. So she still has to kind of go and work and prepare for the full semester. But she's coming and going. My middle one is my athlete. So we spend a lot of time with working out and baseball and basketball and all that.
Yeah.
And my youngest is, he really struggled initially. You know, he'll be going into sixth grade, and transitioning to learning online was really, really hard for them. But my other two, they're used to kind of studying on their own. They actually kind of preferred having their own schedule and all that. But a kid who never had that and always had his regimen of a day of a school, it took some work for him to find the little balance in there as well.
Yeah, I'm going through that with my daughter. I mean, I had to. So what she did. So I mean, keeping them safe online is a thing that is huge. Yeah, I'm gonna do an interview on that in the next few days for my other show, Influential Visions. Yeah, mm-hmm. with some security experts and stuff. But like, I actually use Kaspersky, right, for children's security. So I installed it on her laptop. Yeah. But the problem is she blocked the webcam from being used on Zoom. Yeah. So she's like, daddy, fix my webcam. And I'm like, well, what have you done to it? And so I'm like, I couldn't for the life of me work out how to do it. You can't remotely enable the webcam from your machine. So you have to log in.
So it sounds like you need an expert right now, my friend.
No, I did it. I fixed it. I fixed it, man. I that's the thing, yeah. When you're back up against the wall, yeah, right. You learn how to kind of move beyond these things. Yeah. So when your back is up against the wall, right, you learn how to kind of just. Well, you don't. No one else is going to do it for you. Yeah. So you've got to learn how to do it, right? So it's so frustrating. I mean, my daughter's 8 years old, and it was so frustrating.
Funny story on that one. So, it was my son's birthday 2 days ago. And my daughter and him have mutual friends, right? So they decided they were going to drive over, sit in our driveway with their masks and just spend some time with him. So they pull up, and my daughter notices that there's something going on with their car. And, my son already had baseball practice in the morning. He had his workout. He was already pretty exhausted, but he's like, okay, this is great. Let me spend a little time then. They pull up. Their front tire is completely blown.
Oh,
like a hole, like a good size hole in it. Like they were trying to pump in all that, nothing. So what did my son have to do? The first time ever on his 15th birthday, he had to go help them figure out how to change a tire. So you figure it out, right? One way or another, you figure it out.
Yeah, you do. And I think it's just trying to keep a cool head, isn't it, under these circumstances. Like that's the biggest lesson that I've learned is actually it's only a small moment in time usually. And if you can keep a cool head while everybody else is losing theirs, yeah, then you're in a better place than a lot of people who will just, go crazy, right? For something that in essence is a small thing. And I learned that the other day with her. I should have really listened to my gut instinct in the beginning, which was log in using TeamViewer, which is a remote access program that you know all about as well, I'm sure. So I tried to do that, right? And it didn't work. So I said, Maya, what number have you put in there? Yeah. She said, oh, I didn't run the program, Daddy. I gave you the Zoom meeting number for the TeamViewer access code. So by the end of this, yeah, I actually laughed because I thought that's just such a cool story. It was worth the hour's pain to go through. And that's the thing is a lot of these stories and a lot of these things that we go through become what shapes us, right?
100%. 100%. Yeah, it's and the, you know, the hard part is during those moments, to not let it overwhelm us. You know, kind of like a wave in an ocean, right? You know, if you've ever stood on the beach, you know, you can brace for those moments when a strong wave comes in, but most of them are really tiny waves, right? They've got a little force, but you know, you can manage it with wave. But when those big ones come, you have two choices. You can fight it, and that's usually a losing battle, right? Or let it take you and just kind of, you know, just be with the water and be one with it. And it, you know, it's funny, when COVID-19 first hit, I the first thing that came to me as I was sharing on social media is I just put out just a couple words: this too shall pass.
Yeah.
Let the wave pass. It'll be okay. You'll laugh about it at some point. You'll find moments of joy in there, because you know, there always seems to be some good out of bad. And I think that's the lesson I learned from, you know, unfortunately, all the grief that I had, the bad partner that got me into another business, like something always turns over, and new opportunities are there. And it's why, like, you know, even when I go on walks, like yesterday, my son was at his first practice on baseball field. And so while he was on practice, I had to do a couple of calls. I said, let me go walk around the different fields. And I found a beautiful path, and there was a stream there. And I just had to stop and take a moment and look, and there was a turtle there. And I was like, you know, I took just a couple of pictures and just to enjoy that one moment. And it's like, that was cool. Or, you know, if I have a beautiful rose that blooms on my rose bush, I can enjoy that moment. And it's like, but playing basketball with my son, you know, even though now he beats me all the time because he's bigger and stronger. It's a first. This is something my ego's having to get used to. I never let him win when he was younger. This is a very purposeful thing as well. I don't believe in letting win. I think I learned that from my father, who's also he was drafted to play professional soccer in Argentina. I got a little bit from this mindset. And I remember he used to play chess with me as well. And I remember the first time I actually beat him in a chess game. I was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't let me win beforehand, but I've heard stories from his brother and some of his family friends of how he played chess when he was younger. And you know, one of his stepbrother was like a grandmaster. So it's like, no, he wasn't going to let me win. And I think that taught me, you know, a lot of resilience. And I think that's really what this is about. It's you know, are you developing resilience in your family, in your children? Are you letting them see how you handle the stress and how you find the joy? Because life is stressful. Look, I mean, the definition, many, many, many years ago, I used to teach biology on the elementary and high school level, right? And the definition of a living organism is the ability to detect and react to stress.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. That's one of the things that's what makes us. And it's up to us how we decide to interpret and react to it. And make the most about it. You know, my son, I told you, is a baseball player. There is no sport more stressful than baseball. You know, it is extremely difficult on every side of the game. You know, to be considered among the elite of all baseball players, you have to be successful only 3 out of 10 times. So 7 out of 10 times, you are going to fail.
Wow.
And that's if you're elite. If you're not, you know, 2.5 times,
yeah.
You know, and you can maintain that. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's. I mean, we don't have baseball here very much. I mean, my dad gave me a baseball bat when I was a kid, a New York Yankees bat, I think. And you know, I played a bit of softball just for fun. But we play cricket, right? Like that's, you know, mm-hmm. that's. But I'm interested in interviewing some baseball players, and I might try and find some for future shows because I think.
We might be able to hook you up a little bit.
I thought you might, but I think that if you know, success leaves clues, yeah, and happiness leaves clues, right? And like, I mean, I interviewed Stanley Tucci, the actor, producer, director the other day. He's been in over 90-something movies, right? But he kind of said, he said something really, really important about success. And he was just like, you've got to kind of just relax into it, right? And that really made a lot of sense to me. And I've kind of spotted that in with all the people that I've interviewed in the past 5 years, all very successful people like yourself, and they all share this thing of ease. It's like a kind of they're at home with what they're doing. And that's so related to the sport element, because it's an enjoyment and an ease that they have. All right, it wasn't easy to get where they get to, but then eventually it becomes ease, yeah? Because it's refining that skill.
100%. So you know, while we're recording this, you know, my office for my startup is in the same building as where my son strength trains, right? And it's a lot of work. What he puts in, like, it's especially in the summertime, it is a full-time job for him. He will spend 6-7 hours a day between his training, between some of the online training. He does something called Visual Edge for training his eyes and vision skills. Cooking and the nutrition planning that he's doing, and then all the skill development on top of that. So it's full-time job.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to fall in love with the process of doing this if you want to be successful, because truly the great moments aren't that many. I mean, yes, he'll tell you all kinds of stories that he's already had. You know, we'll remember his first home run that had just come back from a speaking gig in Chile. I didn't have any voice. And all of a sudden, you know, he's in a near championship game, and he hits a ball and everybody celebrates. He's the warden, the MVP. Lots of these great stories. But the hard work is the daily life. It's the falling in love with the process. It's the falling in love of knowing every day I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday.
Yeah. And that's exactly right.
It's about life optimization. It's about developing an attitude and a skill and looking at your life, kind of like, you know, we talked about in our book, Be Like Amazon, from a long-term perspective.
Yeah.
Because if you focus in on just today, today can suck.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what? If you went back and you look at your last 5 years, your last 2 years, your last 10 years, your last 20 years, you start getting different perspectives on your life.
Completely.
And I think it's just, you know, I think about where I was 10 years ago and I think about where I am today and like, wow, there's been a lot that's happened. There's a lot of great stories, you know? And yeah, there's been some tough stuff, but the tough stuff has actually turned some of the great opportunities.
Yeah, yeah.
You never know.
Very much so. And what made me smile, right, that makes me smile because, so when I met you at IBM Amplify, I think it was, or IBM something, Las Vegas. So
yes,
what was really
right.
strange, yeah, is, so I'd been, I only started learning how to write properly, I would say about 2 years before that. So I made a decision when I was, I'm 40, 43 now. I made a decision when I was 35. So a few years before that I was going to learn how to write. And I had an English teacher who kept telling me that I'd be cleaning toilets for the rest of my life. That's what he said to me. So I misbehaved in his class. I did no work at all. And one day I just thought, I read Seth Godin's book, The Icarus Deception. Yeah. And I've probably told you this story before, but I'm going to tell you again anyway. Yeah. And I read this book, The Icarus Deception, which made me think, right, okay, so I can build an audience and I can actually write something that people who are going to like me and they're going to enjoy what I've got to say and they are going to be my audience. And I can do that myself and I'm going to do it. And I started writing and writing and writing and writing. And then suddenly, before I met you, IBM hired us, right, didn't they, to write these blogs for this Think Marketing thing that fell on its ass. But that's just a change of marketing manager and whatever. Mm-hmm. But Seth Godin was hired to write the first blogs before our blogs were released for that particular website, yeah? And I was just... And that was a moment where I will never forget that moment when I heard, like, Seth Godin, I'm going to be writing content and it's going to be on the same website as Seth Godin. And I like literally just jumped up and down. But then I was like, then I got that invite to go to IBM Think, right? And I'd been thinking I wanted to listen to Will Smith speak for years, for absolutely years. And what was so strange is that they invited Will Smith to speak. And I got, and I'd been thinking I wanted IBM to fly me to hire me to go to Amplify, right, or whatever it was called. And that happened on the same year at the same event, right? And then I met all these cool people like yourself and all the other kind of people that share the same kind of enthusiasm and what do you call it? It's like a continual improvement in life, right? It's like you just said, it's like, I want to be better today than I was yesterday. And I want to do that tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Yeah. And all right, some days you're going to fall on your ass. Yeah. But you need to get up and you need to just do it again. And you've got to just aim to be better. Right. Like it's not rocket science, is it?
It's not, it's just literally hard work. And you know, you can choose to look at hard work as, you know, as something that sucks, or you can choose, like, you get the privilege to do it.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, like I'm back now in a new startup, and you know, startups are more hard work than speaking and all that, but the passion and the excitement that we're going to have an impact on, you know, tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of and maybe more youth over the next, you know, number of years, it's such a powerful force that, you know, it gets me up every morning and, you know, excited to do what's next.
It's a lot of fun. That startup buzz is a lot of fun because it's like you're building things and doing things that, you know, and you need to learn new things every day.
Top secret things.
There you go.
Top secret things.
I'm not telling anyone, but you know what I learned from Stanley Tucci the other day to do this kind of stuff. He went, yeah. To point at the camera, right, for people listening to this, you know,
it's not that you're also breaking the plane of that two dimension by coming into them, right?
Yeah,
you got to understand how to do that.
I'm trying, Brian, over the years. I've learned a lot since the first time I interviewed you. I've learned so much, and I'm learning all the time, and that's the thing. It's like some days
Wait, can I stop you right there? Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Because you said something so valuable, right? And I think that it's true with both of us. We both love learning every day. I didn't say I sucked as a student. I was a terrible, I got decent grades, but I sucked as a student. I never loved learning. In fact, my teachers would have never believed I would have written 6 books. They would have doubted I wrote an essay. Okay. So, but here's the bigger thing. And I think we're in a great moment in time that we've got to look at this. Kids have been let loose from schools and they've had to go to virtual classrooms and stuff like that. Why? And the kids who are thriving are the kids who love to learn. Why is it that system kills the love of learning out of students? Because they force all this memory and other things. That's not learning. I can find every fact in the world at the touch of my button. Let's teach them the passion to learn, because that's where growth and the growth mindset comes from.
Yeah, I'm nodding completely, because I've seen my daughter go from having, I mean, she's 8, right? So she hasn't learned digital skills before. Yeah. She didn't have her own computer. Like, you know, I took her a laptop, gave her a laptop, gave her, you know, and it's like watching that passion for learning and seeing how you can teach them something so quickly that would normally take an adult or you know, ages to learn, and you can teach them in like 5 minutes something which would take someone an hour to learn. But what amazes me is the inquisitiveness of how they go. Like I'll give her Zoom, yeah. So then she goes into Zoom. She knows more features that exist in Zoom than me. I don't know half the features, and I use it to live stream, right? It's inquisitiveness, isn't it? That almost is the gateway, isn't it? I suppose to learning.
Well, that's exactly it. Like I've given both my kids, like, you know, they've asked me about stuff, and I give them the freedom. Say, hey, go figure it out. Go do the research. Go let me know. Because if they have a question, let's foster that question. I don't care what you're learning. You know, yes, you should know basic math and basic grammar. Okay, great. You know, I wish they spent more time on communication skills in general. right? But foster that passion, because you know, you look at toddlers and you look at infants, and they have an insatiable appetite for learning and checking out their environment, and we bring them into schools and we basically, oh, you've got to be this and this and this, and it destroys that. So hopefully we can find some ways to make changes. I think it's part of the reason why there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the world as well. So anyway, let's get past that one and focus on positive stuff.
I agree. So how are you? For me, I'm kind of okay with my routine. I've struggled still under this lockdown because I can't go to the gym because they're closed. Yeah, still in right now. But you know, I do.
We got to check out those guns, man. Come on.
I do Tai Chi, right? I've been doing Tai Chi for years. Yeah. So like,
but you don't need a gym for Tai Chi.
No, but I still enjoy going to the gym and pumping some weights and having a sauna and a steam room and a jacuzzi and, you know. Like, so for me, it's okay because I live in the countryside. I can go for a walk. I can still do my Tai Chi. But then not being around a lot of people has been very difficult because I'm quite sociable, yeah? So that has been very difficult, not being able to talk to people face-to-face. So I kind of got a bit depressed and I was like, right, okay, so I need to focus on this. A few days ago, I was like, no. I'm not going to allow this to enter my life. Yeah. And no matter what it takes, I'm going to get up in the morning. I might get up at 6, I might get up at 7, I might get up at 8, but I'm going to do 2 hours training every morning. Yeah. Practice.
Hold on a second. So there's a lesson right there. I want to help people understand. We are going through extraordinary stressful times. You know, whether you're feeling it or not, just the news cycle, whether you're personally affected or not, the environment, right, is stressful, and you don't have to force yourself to get up at a certain time if you don't need to. Let your body have that time to heal, relax, recover, and it will tell you, yes, I'm ready. Now go back into your routine. So I think you're doing exactly the right thing. Don't force yourself. Oh, I got to get sick, because you don't have to be at that 6 a.m. class. Like you said, you can work out 2 hours anywhere at any time. Have that freedom. And that's where you can find the joy. Just the checkbox is, I got my workout in.
That's the whole point. It's the satisfaction that I get from looking at my iWatch, right? And it says 2 hours, I burnt 700 calories. Yeah. And I look at that and go, yeah. That's a big, big, big achievement, because it's like, actually no one is sleeping well at the moment. We're all stressed. We are all worried about family. We're worried about business. We're worried about people. We're worried about riots. We're worried about food. There are so many things to worry about. So it's like, actually you just got to be kind to yourself, right? It's what you said.
And others. Basically. And others.
And others. Yeah. And that's the whole point of this show, right? Like I want to basically just spread positivity to people. That's basically what it's all about, right? And getting to have good conversations. Yeah. So
absolutely. Being Brian, a little social here.
It's been absolutely epic, yeah. And I think you always give me that look when I know it's time to close up for the day, yeah. Brian gives me this look, yeah. It's like a kind of New York look, yeah. I know you're not in New York now.
No, I know. enjoying lovely Austin, Texas.
I know. But Brian, you've been absolutely fantastic. And I'll drop a link in the bottom to your whatever you want, really, whatever book or I think that Be Like Amazon book that you did was fantastic. And I really enjoyed that. It was super.
There's a lot of lessons about what we talked about in there as well. And then obviously on what we're working on with Pilotero, which is, we're developing something that's going to help people, develop themselves as better athletes. We're starting in the world of baseball, but we'll move to other sports as we progress.
Wow.
Right now we put out one free app because we want to do a little goodwill. Kind of my co-founder, Bobby Tewksbury, and my other co-founder, Chris Palabella, was a former major league player, but Bobby owned a training facility for 10 years. And in our alpha of a business, he had a program that he was using at his own facility to schedule the athletes and provide a better experience. And so we decided we were going to put out this free scheduling app for free. and just to get the businesses, because the facilities are starting to reopen here in the States. You know, we definitely got, you know, the southern states, not as much in the northern states, but some of them are starting to get reopened right. already. And we just figured, hey, you know what? You know, it'll take a little bit for us to maintain it, but if we can put it out there and it can help one business out, and we've had some very good reception to it, some, you know, some very surprising things that we'll be able to talk about in the near future. But we're working on some really, you know, top secret stuff, but yeah, we'll be able to talk about that. We're going to try to impact as many people who have a passion for sports and development of athletes, both physically and mentally, over the next couple of years.
Absolutely super. Well, thank you, Brian. And thanks to everyone for listening, and do check out the other shows. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Positive Personal Power. Do subscribe via your favorite podcasting app, and please leave us a 5-star review. Or sign up on our website, positivepersonalpower.net, for weekly emails and updates, and do share our episodes with your friends and on social media. Feel free to reach out anytime.